What can I say? After last time's last performance, I thought you were going to invite me back, but it seems that I was mistaken about that. I want to focus on the first Rashi in the Parsha, which it seems quite innocuous when started is very nice. Rashi is interested in why there is a connective vov. Why does the Parsha begin Ve'ela Hamishpotim rather than Ela without the connection? As he says, quotes in Chazal, Komok Mishinema Ela, Poses Harishonim, Ve'ela Mosif Harishonim. Whenever you have the vov, it obviously is adding, it's connecting, it's and, this as well as this. A connects to B. And where you don't have the connective vov, then it's a new, it's drawing a line under the material before, and it's beginning again. Mar Rishonim is Sinai, Af Elam is Sinai. Just as the first, that means the Seres Adibros, the revelation, the subject of the previous week's Sedra, moving on to the Mizbeach, which is the last passage in Parshas Yisroel. All of that clearly is Sinai. That's the context. So too here, you have Parshas Mishpatim, which is also Sinai. And then Rashi gives a halachic observation, which is derived from the juxtaposition of the Mizbeach to the Mishpatim. Along in this book of Parshas, did in the Parshas Mizbeach, why are the two parshias juxtaposed? Lo melacha shetosim Sanhedrin eitzah Mizbeach, that the Sanhedrin would actually physically be placed next to the Mizbeach. The Sanhedrin sat in Lishkas Hagodis, usually translated as the chamber of hewn stone, which was kind of half in and half out of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and it opened out right next to the Mizbeach. So the two things are set together, the Mishpatim, the seat of the supreme court of the Jewish people. That the Mishpatim is physically juxtaposed to the Mokam Mizbeach, the place of the locus of spiritual activity. Although this Rashi seems to be very nice, move on to the next Rashi, there's actually a great deal here. First of all, why might one have thought that the Mishpatim are not Misinai, to use Rashi's Loshon? Why? I mean, I suppose the answer to the question is, the word Mishpatim is often translated as social ordinances, social laws. If we were to derive a system, imagine we all were suddenly transplanted to a desert island, and we had no particular concept of a rule system that would govern our lives together, we would probably quite quickly come up with a system which we would call Mishpatim. We'd probably decide that since none of us liked being physically hurt, we'd have rules that ensured that none of us were physically hurt. There were penalties for those people who attacked others. All of us like to ensure the integrity of our property, so we would want to ensure that there were rules that did not impinge on our property, and so on and so forth. These are rules that we would derive ourselves, and they would be based in this regard on pragmatic considerations. I don't like to be hurt, so let's have a rule against hurting people. I want my property and person to be intact, etc., etc. This is quite normal. We would not, on the other hand, come up with the other system of laws. So the Torah needs to make sure that something is clear. Even though it's true, we would probably come up with a system of rules not that different from Mishpatim. Your animal hurts my animal. Your animal damages my property. We would come up with a system of rules, probably with an outcome not that different to the Mishpatim that are stated here. That's not the reason why we do them. These are as much part of the Sinaitic revelation as the ritual laws that appear in the previous passage. Why the Mizbeach? And that I mentioned already. The Mizbeach represents the focal point of all activity which is Bein Adam L'Mokom. This is the place where man connects with God. This is where the fire comes down, where the physical and spiritual world connects. It symbolizes and represents the entire system of dinim regulating our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously those things are decreed by God. They come from Sinai. What is not so obvious is that in the very same way the rules that regulate what happens if I dig a pit and make a borei b'rishus harabim, or if my animal goes wild, or if I'm careless and put a torch into the hand of someone who's irresponsible, and all the other responsibilities regulating our relationship with Chaveiroi, it's not so immediately obvious that these are equally siniatic, whether it's the right word, but they are very much part, just as much part of the revelation. That's what Rashi, I think, is trying to convey. Something which we're going to focus on a little bit, which is very often there's a tendency to forget this Vov. This connective Vov, which Rashi focused on in the beginning of the Sedra, this Vov is certainly the way I see things. Describes the very fabric of the Jewish world, the intimate and indivisible connection between the mitzvah of Bein Oz and Lamoko at the end of Mishpat, at the Parshas Yisro, Revelation, but specifically the Mizbeach, and the mitzvahs which are Bein Oz and the Chaveiro, which commence at the beginning of Mishpatim. And sometimes, and we've seen societies, unfortunately, both in the Jewish world and the Havdil in the non-Jewish world, which often forget the significance of this Vov. Just to elaborate slightly, we can have a situation where people have a tendency to focus on ritual activity. Bein Odom Lamoka. We see it if we look around in various societies. We're not going to point any fingers, but we are aware at least of the tendency. There's a tendency for people, particularly in a Golas society, particularly in Golas, where religion will be defined by synagogue, when it's defined by ritual activity, to focus very much. There are lots and lots of chumras. You know, there are many people who are members of the Chumra of the Week Club. And chumra for some, the Chumra of the Week Club appears only to focus, or certainly very frequently, to only focus on mitzvahs ben odom lamoka. It refers to kashrus, shabbos, and other areas of ritual observance. We're not suggesting, chas v'shalom, that these aren't extremely important and central to Jewish existence, because they are. It is much less common, however, for the Chumra of the Week Club to focus on issues which regulate our interpersonal activities. I have a good Chumra in the way we fill in our tax returns, for example. Laughter from the audience, right? A good Chumra in to what degree we are friendly, welcoming, and non-judgmental of people who are not like us. Right? No laughter from the audience. These things sometimes get out of focus. And the Torah is already aware in its genius, in its divine genius, that there will be sometimes this tendency in some societies to focus on the Mizbeach and forget the Vov that connects the Mizbeach to the Mishpatim and the Havdil. We see societies which, not within the Jewish world, certainly not in the religious world, but have exactly the opposite focus. What we call in modern terminology secular humanism. The whole of life is geared to being nice to other people. The whole of life is geared to caring for others, for meeting our responsibilities and going far beyond our responsibilities in the arena of Bein Odom al-Chaveiro. This, we would describe without any spiritual dimension, is the Mishpatim without the Vov that connects the Mishpatim to the Mizbeach. And our responsibility has to be altruistic, to be meet, to give, create a meaningful world which are fair, you know, all sorts of campaigns for fairness, for free trade. These things maybe are beneficial. But what is clear is that unless we understand that man has a spiritual dimension, man has a need to express some kind of sense of his, a sense of meaning, of feeling to strive beyond the temporal and move into the realm of the celestial. Hope you have a dictionary with you. Who said that before I spelt it? Right? Okay. Unless we understand that, we rob mankind of what we really are, which is a bifurcated, sorry, okay, divided. We are divided. There are two parts to our existence. We live in the real world. We live in a physical world where we have to create a world of harmony, horizontal shalom, if you like, in the world of physical. And on the other hand, there's another dimension to us, and we ignore that at our peril as well. We have to create a sense of harmony between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the arena of Bein Odom Lamokom. And this is what is intended to convey, that they're equally important. They are both part of the divine mission for human beings, and we ignore or overemphasize one at the expense of the other. Grave peril results. We either have a kind of heartless ritual fundamentalism in which the human dimension becomes secondary, or we have a life devoid of meaning. Both of those are terrible. That's what the Bob is saying, that's the real meaning in Rashi. If they're Eitel, if they're Mitzinai, the two things come together, and we see that equally important. There is a source that I've heard quoted which emphasizes this idea. I believe it's the Marbit, although but at least my fifth attempt to find it in the Marbit has failed. If anyone knows the reference, I'd be grateful for it. Which is based on two Chazalim about the Luchos. The Luchos, of course, fit together. They are the same size, same shape, and so on. And the idea is as follows. The text, apparently, on the Luchos filled the space. There are no margins, if you like. And they're the same size as each other. That means that the text on the second Luach must have been larger than the text on the first, because there's a lot more writing. If you look at the Aseret HaDibros, there are many more words in the first five than there are in numbers 6 to 10. And therefore the only outcome must be is that the text of the second Luach must be larger than the text of the first. What's the point of this? The notion is that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to, this is not what happened, he's come and gather mountain, he's carrying his Luchos, the testimony to his communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's walking down the mountain, and what are they going to see as he emerges from the clouds? They see a man carrying these huge sapphire blocks, and they're going to see the text of the second one first. It will be emphasized, it will be larger, it will feature bigger in their perception, in their first impression. Because, as apparently the Marbit says, I mean, again, I'm happy to actually get the reference, we are always aware that this tendency to over-focus on Bein Odom Lamokom, it exists, it's right from the beginning, it's always a temptation, it's built into the system. It's easier in some way to examine the tip of your lulav extremely carefully and reject it unless it meets all halakhic stipulations. It's much easier to do that than it is to fill in your tax return honestly. It's just much easier. So Moshe has to come down already tipping the balance to ensure that things are correct. That's the nature of our experience. And the Meforshim, as we know, are very keen to point out the horizontal correspondence between the first five and the second five of the Aseret HaDibros. This is not simply random. We know the first, which is the existence of God, Onochi, corresponds to Lo Tirtzach, don't murder, the case of Tzelem Elokim, where we see godliness in the physical world. We have to ensure that we treat human beings as though there is a spark of the divine in them. That's the horizontal correspondence there. We move on to numbers 2 and 7. Lo yielcho, idolatry, corresponds to lo sinof, no adultery. I don't know if there's any meaning in the similarity of these words in English, adultery and idolatry. You've got to make sure, please, in conversation, not to mix them up. but in fact, they are extremely similar concepts. We are required to have a covenantal relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, not to break the covenant. It's, if you like, a monogamous relationship between us and our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And in the human sphere, well, we have relationships. They are relationships with our promises and commitments. And when things go wrong with those relationships, that's a parallel in the realm of Bein Ozem L'Chaveroi. And so on and so forth. It's not a share on this parallel, but we have to understand that the two tablets are fixed together. They are joined by this vault, and the totality of human experience from a Jewish perspective is regulated by this balance expressed in the vault that connects Parshas Yitzro to Parshas Mishpatim. Even the structure of the Mishkan, we know that the Mishkan, if you look closely at the Mefarshim, is intended to be a symbolic representation of Mamat HaSinai. But according to some before you look in the Sforno and so on, you'll see that had there not been a Cheta Ego, Klal Yisrael would have been capable of maintaining the inspiration of Har Sinai without a tangible representation that goes beyond the Mizbeach. That's why the Mizbeach appears at the end of Yisrael. Look at the Sforno there. That was how they would keep alive the experience as they moved through the desert. After the Cheta Ego, a more substantial, a more significant representation was needed in order to maintain the inspiration. We call that the Mishkan, to retain that link between man and God through some kind of larger creation. And the structure of the covers, if you were to stand inside the Mishkan, you would see the first layer of covers consisted of two large sheets, and they were each constructed from five smaller strips and then held together in the centre with clips. What did you see if you were to look up? What will be your inspiration? That even here at the centre of the spiritual world in the Mishkan, you saw the Aseres HaDibros, the two sheets, each of five pieces of material, all sewn together in two groups of five, so you have your two tablets, but they're fixed together. That even right in the centre of that world of spirituality, there is an equal emphasis on our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. That's the sense that's conveyed here. There's a medrash that I found in the Torah Shleima, an obscure medrash. My kosov lemala in the inyan, what is written above? Right, it's about the Mizbeach. Hare ha-korbonos v'telim, onu ma'amasa. But we haven't got any korbonos. What do we do now? What happens now? What are we supposed to do in the absence of korbonos? It's so important. It creates this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If I want to go into more details, as I mentioned before, you'll see that the Mizbeach is the place where the physical and spiritual worlds connect with each other. This is how man relates to God. How do we do that when we don't have a Mizbeach? So Omol Ahen, as it were, the Torah is saying to the Jewish people through the juxtaposition of the Mizbeach to the Mishpatim, Sukim B'dinin, deal with dinin, meaning implement the Mishpatim that are described in the passage that follows, Umale Ani Aleichem, and I will consider it for you, Ki'ilu hikravtem kol ha-korbonos. I will consider it as though you have brought all of the korbonos. Just putting that on hold for a moment, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin in Zaphazai, on Rebbe Yonason, called Dain Shadon Din Emes La'amito. Every Dain who judges the Din truly and faithfully, Mishra Shechina of Israel, brings the Shechina to rest amongst the Jewish people, and the Gemara uses a posuk for this. B'chol dain she'ein adon din emes la'amito, and a dain who's corrupt, who does not implement the din correctly, and the outcome is not emes la'amito, plumbing the truth as the Torah requires, groaning the shechina she'tistalek in Israel, causes the shechina to depart from the Jewish people. This Gemara in Sanhedrin is really saying the same idea as the previous medrash, that in a world where dinim are enacted correctly, the dayan and the society which allows the dinim to be operated properly, where ben odom lechaveroi are really at the centre of society, this creates harmony between people. The dayan, as it were, why do you say brings the shechina? The shechina means it brings the spiritual into the physical. It means that even in the mundane aspects of human existence, the nitty gritty of boundary disputes between neighbours, the nitty gritty, sorry to go on about this, about the way in which you see our tax forms and all these sorts of things, which are very mundane and extremely distant from our religious experience. This is really, as they were, I wouldn't like quite to set the quote, the devil lives in the details, but we can probably adjust this slightly and say, Lahavdil, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu lives in the details. It's very easy when there's a major ritual occasion, when there's a special occasion in one's life, when it comes to a Yom Tov, to do all the things the right way. The difficulty with a meaningful religious life is for God to live in the details of normal experience, of the way you speak to people, of the way you drive your car, and so on and so on and so forth. in every detail. That's where the difficulty. That, implementing that system in Olam Hazeh, is what brings the Shekhinah into the world, in the same way that the Mizbeach is the connecting point between this world and the next world. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the only way to bring spiritual meaning into this world is by some kind of ritual act, by those things represented by the Mizbeach. It's a mistake. The Mishpatim, creating harmony in societies, creating justice in society, fairness, rectitude, non-judgmentalism, and all the things that Ben Ozum the Chaveiro demands, all of these things also cause Shekhinah of Israel. They bring the Kodesh Baruch Hu to rest in this world, just the same as in this Be'ach. So we see, and we'll look at a Maharal that says the same thing in a moment, that we sense that they're the very same concept, the very same idea, that the deeper reason why the Mizbeach is juxtaposed to the Mishpatim is because they are both arenas in which it's possible to perceive higher meaning, divinity, HaKadosh Baruch, whatever you want to call it, in this world. One is obvious and the other is less obvious. The Mizbeach is obvious, but when it comes to Mishpatim, he did a little bit of digging behind the scenes, careful consideration to appreciate it properly. And this is one of the reasons, it's Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's also Medrash Rabbah in the Parsha, it talks about the direct juxtaposition, v'lo yisal v'malis ha-mizbechi, that you're not allowed to walk up on steps. So we learn from that halacha that the Mizbeach has to have a ramp. There's not going to be, there aren't any steps, that even the slightest is well known, because I'll ask, well, is it, what's the story? I mean, do you really think that the very slight step that the Kohen will take, and he's wearing trousers as well, is going to expose him? It's supposed to be understanding that when you are in a position of spiritual power, and equally when we look at the dionym in temporal power, when you're in a position of power or leadership in the community, the slightest imperfection or the slightest indiscretion has very large ramifications. Normally a man wearing trousers walking up steps, he would not describe that as a uncovering one's nakedness. It's just not how it is. But when you're in a position of power, when you're ascending the Mizbeach, or when you're the dion who is expected to be Don Enes La'amitai, as in the Mishpatim that follow, then the slightest indiscretion has major ramifications. Those of us who are privileged to be in positions of leadership are aware of it. Rabbis have children obsession. It means that the children come to shul and the one expects them to behave much better than ordinary children should behave, and that the slightest thing that goes wrong, you know, what's going to happen? The truth is, God, normally the children get plenty of compliments, but we understand that people, the greater the position of authority and leadership, the greater the perception in the public eye of the significance of one's actions, and therefore even the slightest indiscretion has major ramifications. That's the meaning of this medrash. Kodesh Baruch Hu is warning the dayanim, shelo yafsiu pasiyas gasos badin. They shouldn't stride over people, and they shouldn't be high-handed. They have to be extremely sensitive. And the greater the position of authority, the greater the sensitivity is needed, and therefore the greater the opportunity to bring Kedusha and Kiddush Hashem into Olam Hazeh. Because if that degree of sensitivity is required with a Mizbeach, the same degree of sensitivity in the arena of Din is required. This is called the Maharal. HaMizbeach hu meisim shalom bein Yisrael l'avim sheva shamayim. The Mizbeach brings peace, it brings harmony. That's why we know you're not allowed to use a metal implement to construct the Mizbeach, because it's intended to lengthen life, it's to make life better, to create a harmonious world. And the metal implement is a destructive thing, its primary focus is to destroy or to damage, and the concepts are incompatible. So Rashi quotes Chazal at the end of last week, etc. The Mizbeach, the goal of the Mizbeach is to bring peace. That's what korbanos are for, is to bring people near. This translation of the word sacrifice, it's a bad translation, it comes up all sorts of primitive concepts. The real meaning of korban is a device that brings man and God near to each other, brings up human beings, either individuals or Klal Yisrael, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, I love makriv my korbanos. This is where the korbanos are brought. Shenikra korban, and it's called a korban. I'll show you a kind of it's odd in the very Sala, because it brings man close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings various proofs for this. And he says, what about the dinim? Hamatzel shalom bein ish le'ish, which bring peace between human beings. Uvein ish le'ishtai, bring resolve marital disputes. Bein ir le'ir, bein umma le'umma. What are the mishpatim intended to do? Create what I describe before as horizontal harmony between individuals, in families, between communities, between factions, between cities, and eventually in the world. If this is the role of mishpatim, the feina mishpatim matilim shalom ba'olam, so too you see that the mishpatim, if they bring peace in the world, nimsoki hamizbeach va'adin he miskashrim. The mizbeach, the concept of mizbeach and mishpatim, they're joined together. They're indivisibly linked. Va'oisim shalom ba'olam. They both create shalom in this world. And this is what we say we started, that the two extremes of a kind of over-focused ritual world on one hand, or the havdil, a kind of secular humanism on the other world. Neither of these succeed in doing what man is brought into this world to do, which is to bring shalom, to create a world of peace. And harmony has two aspects: harmony between people, and then those people in a harmonious way relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Horizontal harmony followed by vertical harmony. And he says this is why Bishvil Zeh Hayah Mizbeach V'Lishtas HaGozis Be'Emtza Ha'Olam. Because of this, the Mizbeach and the Lishtas HaGozis, the Supreme Court, they sit next to each other at the very centre of the world. And that Vov that joins Parshas Yisro, the Parsha of the Mizbeach, to the Parsha of Mishpatim, that Vov plays itself out, as Rashi said, in the physical proximity of the Mizbeach and the Lishkas HaGozis. They are at the centre of the world. Adam Aruf is in many places. He has this idea about middles and centres. He talks about it in many places. Ki Emtzo Mekasher Kol HaChalokim. The middle joins together all the disparate parts. That's the symbolism. It's not just the middle, it's the centre. It's not just the centre, it's the unifying point. Lefi Shuba Emtzo, because it is the middle. Nimsa Mizbeach V'Lishkas HaGozis Ma'achtim U'Mekashrim HaKol. The twin concepts expressing together through that Vov the entire, if you like, world view. I won't use the word I was going to because you won't like it, right? The entire world view of Judaism is expressed by their centrality in the physical place of the Jewish world, and of course we view the Mokom HaMikdosh as the physical centre, spiritual centre, conceptual centre of everything. To finish, I've got another 2 minutes to finish Rav Hirsch. Immediately preceding in the construction of the altar, this immediately preceding the Mishpatim, the symbolic expression of the fundamental basic principle was given that our justice and humaneness for building up human society and morality and decency for the work of each individual and himself are to be gained and formed on a firm, unshatterable basis. So that principle, the Vov adds the Mishpatim, the legal laws by which the building up of Jewish society on the basis of justice and humaneness is first of all ordered. The sword, force and harshness, that's the sword that's prohibited for the Mizbeach, are therefore to be banned from the Jewish state. Only then can they be worthy to erect an altar to God in their midst. This is why the Mishpatim come before the building of the Mishkan. The laws which then are dedicated to the banning of immorality in its wider sense, the controlling and restraining of the animal in man, which hinders and checks the way up to the height of the altar, perfecting the individuals by the principles of morality and decency, then follow in the third book. So Rav Hirsch broadens the discussion and puts it in the whole context. That the spiritual focus, the sense that there is some higher spiritual meaning, leads us to wish to control and channel human desires, which often run rampant and can destroy society. And once we create a society of this sort, that enables us to implement the concept of the Mizbeach, and what you do with that Mizbeach is then discussed in Vayikra. So he sees the whole thing in a broader context, that they play off each other, even in a more, in a deeper way, because the Mizbeach sets the tone, the concept there is that the goal is to ascend to a spiritual height, and how do we do that in the real world? By a world governed by Mishpatim, which we understand to be divine. Have a good day.